The climate's come. The climate's come.
Yes.
Oh, the name of the parasha is Vayera. Vayera, of course, is a very interesting parasha, which tells us about the inner workings, a little bit, of Avraham Avinu, who is supposedly the person who was able to understand more than other people. Right? And so there are several stories that are told. The appearance of the angels to Avraham Avinu, the three angels who came, the story of Sodom, overturning Sodom and Gomorrah, Akedat Yitzchak. I mean, all of this is in this parasha. It's all in this parasha of... what I'd like to look at is the reaction that Avraham Avinu had to the news that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had decided to destroy Sodom. Right? That's what I'm interested in. And that's found at the bottom of the first, on the right side of the page. Bereshit Perek Yud Chet. Just the psukim. We'll learn the Rashi later. Vayifnu b'shava anashim. Anashim, you know, are the angels. Right? At least the way we understand it. The angels vayilchu Sodoma. They were on their way to Sodom. Vavraham odenu omeid lifnei Hashem. I mean, these are words that demand some kind of thinking. Avraham was still standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was even in the time of Avraham Avinu, where there were no specific places for meeting up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it was a meeting. God, the Malachim, and Avraham Avinu. The Malachim leave. And Avraham Avinu is still talking to God. Avraham Avinu is still talking to God. So then it says, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayigash Avraham Vayomer, Ha'af Tispet Tzadik Im Rasha. So Avraham Avinu assumes a position of justice. Right? Avraham Avinu says, it can't be. What can't be? That God would destroy the righteous along with the wicked. Ha'af tispeh. Tispeh means to destroy, to do away with. Tzadikim rasha. Is there no distinction? As though Avraham Avinu is saying to Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's got to be somebody in Sodom who doesn't deserve to be destroyed. Right? Then, Ulai yesh hamishim tzadikim. Maybe there are 50 righteous in the city. Will you do away with them? And you won't bear that place. In other words, let them go free. What's the assumption behind the question that if there are 50 tzadikim, God will destroy the 50 tzaddikim along with the Rishaim? Right? Something that is odd. Let's say odd. Okay. Ulai yesh chamishim tzaddikim mitoch ha'ir ha'tispeh v'lo tisar l'makol l'man chamishim tzaddikim asher b'kirbo. And then Avraham Avinu judges God. You see? And he says in Pasuk Ravei, Chalila lecha, which I think means, please don't do this. You can't do this. You are the source of justice, so you can't do this. Chalila lecha, me'asot kedavar hazeh la'amid tzadikim rasha. How could it be that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are going to destroy the righteous and the wicked? And you will have established some sort of principle, which is that the righteous and the wicked, they're in it together. They're in it together. So if the wicked have to be punished, the righteous will be punished along with them. And then the Pasuk says again, Chalila lach, Chalila lach. Heaven forbid.
Yeah. Right. It's funny, right?
What?
It's
I think so. Halila lach. Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. In other words, I, Avraham Avinu, know that you are the source of justice. Shofet kol ha'aretz. How can you do something that's unjust? So Avraham Avinu has this whole series of assumptions, right? God is the source of justice, but Avraham Avinu knows what justice is, and therefore he can attack God based on the principle of Hashofet kol ha'aretz. Could it be that the lawyer said mishpat? Because then, I mean, you could say it in sort of like in a lighter way. You say, here, Avraham Avinu says, I spent my whole life spreading the word that you are just, and here you are acting unjustly. This Avraham Avinu is assuming for himself some sort of knowledge that which he uses to attack God. That's what it says. Shemekol Arz lo yaseh mishpat. Vayomer Hashem im emsa b'sdom 50 tzadikim b'toch ha'ir v'nasati l'chol ha'machom b'avuram. It's as though the pasuk means, if I find 50 tzadikim in the city of stone, I will bear the entire place b'avuram. The opposite of what you say, Abba. You say that if there are maybe 50 righteous people, but all the rest of the people are wicked, that I'll destroy the righteous and the wicked together. But I say to you, if there are 50 righteous people, I will spare the wicked. That's the response. So that the chidush that Avraham Avinu learned, which obviously he didn't know that. It was, what did Avraham Avinu want to do? He wanted to save the 50 righteous. He didn't want to save the whole city of Sodom. He wasn't arguing with God about that. He was arguing with God about the 50 righteous people that might be in Sodom. So he said, so if you destroy the city of Sodom, you're going to destroy these 50 people also? I didn't hear from the angels that they have some kind of fire company that is going to save everybody else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, if I find 50 tzaddikim in Sodom, new principle, the whole city will be saved. Will be saved. The whole city will be saved. So that Avraham Avinu, I mean, this is why I read these psukim. Avraham Avinu, let the Kaddish Baruch Hu say, I know something about Mishpat. I know something about Mishpat. If you kill the 50 people for no reason, other than the fact that they're living in Sodom, there's something wrong with that. That's not what I was selling. When I went around to all of the goyim in the area and told them that God is just, I wasn't selling that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, not only that, I'm telling you a new principle, that if there are 50 righteous people in Sodom, no one will get killed. So this is the point that we are interested in learning about. So in order to do that, I want to spend a little bit of time looking at the Rambam. See the Rambam, that long passage at the top of the page, is the Rambam, Perek Aleph in Hilchot Avodah Zarah, where the Rambam makes this marvelous, sums up history of the world, you know, marvelous is not a word that has anything to do with right or wrong. It's just marvelous, you know. It's like you read Paradise Lost. You don't have to like check it out to see if all the sources are correct or not. But it's just a marvelous Christomathy. So we'll learn it a little bit. Learn a little bit. First thing that the Rambam does is try to explain how it might be that idolatry came into a world with God, right? Which is the world of Adam and Chava and Shait and Enosh. I mean, it's a world in which God plays a very prominent role. God is there. God is in the world. So how could idolatry possibly come into that world? So the Rambam says, Bimei Enosh. Enosh is the son of Shait. Shait was the son of Adam HaRishon. Right? Adam and Chava had two sons, Cain and Hevel. They didn't turn out so well. At a later date, they had a third son, and the third son's name was Shet, Shin Taf. Shet had a son whose name was Enosh, and Enosh knew his grandfather. In other words, Adam HaRishon was still alive when Enosh was alive. And Adam HaRishon knew about God. He walked with God. He talked to God. He had no difficulty with the idea of God. Rambam says, "Bimei Enosh, ta'u b'nei Adam ta'ut gadol v'nevara atzat chachamim." This is how it all starts. The Rambam says, in the time of Enosh, Ta'u b'nei ha'adam ta'ut gedolah. That's the first thing you have to say. What does the Rambam mean when he says Ta'u ta'ut gedolah? Which in Hebrew or translated means they made a mistake, a very big mistake. Right now, the Rambam is writing these words. He's not acting them out, right? He's not speaking for the public. So when you write something, and you write something unnecessary, our tendency is always to say, "Well, why did he say? Why couldn't he just say? Why couldn't he say Ta'u b'nei ha'adam? Why does he say Ta'u ta'ut gedola? What's a ta'ut gedola? What's a ta'ut and a gedola and a ta'ut?" The wise people of the generation would not accept it, the wisdom. And Enosh, right again, Enosh, the grandson of Adam HaRishon, was one of those who made this terrible mistake. And then the Rambam said, this was their mistake. Amru. So what was Avodat Kohavim? How did Avodat Kohavim get into the world, according to the Rambam? Because people looked at the world that God had created, and they saw that God had delegated certain authority in the created world to things that were created, so that the sun was given the authority over life, and the moon was given authority over tides, right? We could say that today, right? That doesn't negate science. That's what science says. And they had ideas about the stars, the constellations, and what they meant. So they said, they meaning the people at the time, they said, God would be pleased if we give homage to those things in the universe that have power. Why did God give them power? Because God wanted us to notice, and God wanted us to react. God wanted us to respond, and so they started. Again, you have to understand that they served God. Nobody wanted to dethrone God. They just said, God wants us to worship the sun, or God wants us to worship the moon. And so we'll do it. We'll do it a little bit. And then it got out of hand. They got out of hand, and people became, experts at worshiping the moon, or experts worshiping the sun. And so because they were experts, they built these temples. So they had real idolatry. It started to have halachas, and it started to have dinim. And that's what happened. So then the Rambam says, I'm on the end of the fifth line. V'zeh haya ikar avodat kochavim. V'cheni yomim, avodeh hayadim ikara. Lo she'en omrim, she'en sham eloka, ela kochav. It's not that they said that there is no God. that something changed in that regard. And they never said that this star in the sun, you know, that's why people, they know about stars, right? That's why in the ancient world, what we still call the, you know, collections of stars, what do we call them?
Constellations.
Yeah, we call them constellations, but you know, it goes back to the ancient world, because when they looked, they were looking, because they thought they would find something. That's why they were looking. So they found Cassiopeia, but that's not what they were looking for. They were looking for something meaningful. And they were able to do that because they had a lot of spare time. Lo she'edomim she'ein sham eloka elekochav. Say what?
And no street lights.
No street lights, no movies, no nothing. So they sat out in the outside and they looked at the heavens. It was a great idea. Did you see the moon last night?
Mm.
Yes? Mm. You know that song, I see the moon and the moon sees me? So you see, when the Rambam said ta'ut ta'ut gedola, my understanding of that is that you can't enfer the kasha. There's no, you can't prove otherwise. For enfering a kasha is like they say in yeshivas. So they say you can't. It's such a good kasha that it has no answer. What's the good kasha? The good kasha was, didn't God want us to serve the moon? So now everybody agrees that the moon has power over the tides. Everybody agrees with that. So now what could your response possibly be? What's the answer? There is no answer. That's a ta'ut gedola. And that's why you could say that this perek, this chapter of the Rambam, Hilchot Avodah Zarah, is an introduction to the Torah. The Torah was not given to Adam HaRishon. It wasn't given until much later to Bnei Yisrael, to Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai. Why wasn't the Torah given? Why was the Torah given to Adam HaRishon? Because history had to prove to us that we needed the Torah. That if the Torah had not given us the boundaries and the parameters of religious life, we would have messed up. Because we are slaves to logic. And logic tells us that you could worship all kinds of things. And that's why, in spite of the fact that we have the Torah, we have allowed over the generations all kinds of strange things to creep in that are maybe idolatrous in nature, and you know that from time to time there's like a movement to get rid of them. There's different movements to get rid of. And there are things, you know, there are things in the liturgy, for example, that are very strange, though we won't go into that now. Halacha Beit. You see Halacha Beit? Halacha Aleph is about the origins of idolatry. Halacha Beit. B'char shorchu ha'yamim. Amdu b'vnei adam neviyei sheker. And then as a result, there were false prophets. V'amru, shakel tziva v'amale mevdu kochav ploni, o kol ha-kochavim, v'kribu lo v'neschu lo kach v'kach, v'anu lo heichal. V'anu lo heichal. So Halacha Bet is about the spread of idolatry. Right? The spread of idolatry in the world. And, you know, very similar to the way religions are spread. Now let's skip to Halacha Gimel. You look. You see where it says at the beginning of the line, it says Halacha Gimel. Now, if you go back from Halacha Gimel, you go back from the Halacha Gimel again. 1, 2, 3 lines. Okay. V'achachamim shayu behem kigon kohanehem chayotzim behem edamim. That's how far they got. They got to the point where people were willing to say, all there is the moon and the sun and the stars. There is really no God. That is the God, right? But that took a long time. It took a long time to happen, according to the Rambam.
In
other words, the world sank to a very low level, according to the Rambam. And even the Rambam, who is not a Kabbalist, but was very much a rationalist, would have agreed that we were in jeopardy. The world was in jeopardy because people didn't know anything about God. They lost this ability. God, there wasn't a person in the world who knew anything about God. Right? These are the people that the Rambam said kept the world going. I know that that's what the Rambam means, and I'll prove it to you shortly. But they were these people, special people. Chanoch, we talked about Chanoch, and Metushelach, we didn't talk about Metushelach. Noach, we talked about. Shem Ve'Ever were the ones who had a yeshiva, right, where the ideas of the Torah were taught. Val derech ze aya olam olecho mitgalgel. Olechu mitgalgel. The world just went along with all of this. It got worse and worse and worse. Ad shenolad amudo shel olam v'hu Avraham Avinu. So all the history of the world, right, is the history of man jeopardizing his own existence. Right, that's what we did. Migdal Bavel, Mabul, and it was almost gone. The world was almost gone, because even though there was a covenant with Noah that the world would not end in a Mabul, but that doesn't mean, as the Rambam says in the Maror Nevuchim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will under no circumstances destroy the world. That's not correct. So this statement, Ad shenolad amudo shel olam. What's amudo shel olam? It's the amud, the pillar, which supports the world. Right? A kind of an atlas idea. Right? You know, atlas with the world on its back. That's what the... What? But right with the line before Gimel, where it says Halacha Gimel, the line before that, Ad shenolad amudo shel olam. What? So in other words, Avraham Avinu changed the course of history. Until Avraham Avinu, we were going down and down and more involved in idolatry and more involved in idolatry. And here and there, there was a person who had some awareness of the presence of God, but it was all disappearing. Ad shenolad amudo shel olam. One person came along and saved the creation. Saved the creation. He turned it around. He turned something around. That's Amudo Shel Olam. V'hu Avraham Avinu. And then Halacha Gimel. Kevan Shenigmal Eitan Zeh. Remember we learned what the Shem Shmuel says about Eitan Zeh? Yes? Eitan. And the word Eitan means strong, powerful, sturdy, right? All of those things. Now, it's true that Avraham Avinu is called Eitan in a parak in Tehillim. But when the Rambam says it, he says it fits in with his idea of Amudo Shel Olam, right? The pillar upon which the world rests. The pillar that is strong enough and solid enough to ensure that the creation will not be destroyed. Kevan shenigmal eitan zeh, nigmal, weaned. When this eitan is weaned, itchil shotet b'da'atov hu katan, the Rambam says that Avraham Avinu was like an autodidact. He shotet b'da'atov hu katan, itchil achshov b'yom v'alayla, he was thinking day and night, v'yatameya. Hey, ach efshar sheyeh hagalgal hazeh noheg tamid v'lo yelo manhig. How could it be that the earth goes around, but there's no one who made it go around? You know, you have here that proof of God. You know, not such a great proof. But the Rambam applies that to Avram Avinu. How could it be that there's a world and nobody set it into motion? How could that be? Oh, me is able to. It's not possible that the world would dray itself around. He didn't have a teacher. He was planted in the place called Ur Kasdim, and all around him were only idolaters, atipshim, the Rambam editorial note, they're all stupid. Raviv, imo, his father and his mother, but his heart was wandering around. The Rambam says it. This is enough. As I say, I'll read it again because I think it's so exciting. So he was thinking. Avram Avinu was thinking. You imagine that? I mean, that's a philosopher, right? Philosophers don't do what somebody taught them. You know, the Rambam's hero was Aristotle. Aristotle was a thoughtful person, and most of the things that Aristotle thought, the Rambam thought were great. So the Rambam says about Avram Avinu, he says you have to remember he didn't have a teacher, and he didn't have a rebbe. And everybody around him was crazy. They were all idolaters. His mother was an idolater. His father was an idolater. Chazal say his father sold idols. I mean, that's really crazy. So then he says, Libo Mishotet. His heart was moving around, hither and yon, right? Mishotet Umevin. And things become clear and clearer to him. Ad sheisig derech ha'emet vehevin kavat tzedek mitfunato hanechona. Translation: until he understood the way of truth. Now you know that truth, emet, the word emet, is a synonym for Torah. Just as Torah is a synonym for truth. There's some very strong relationship between the idea of truth and the idea of Torah, and the Rambam certainly knew that. And but he says here that Avraham Avinu on his own, was able to achieve the Derech HaEmet. You know that the Chazal say that the Avot kept Taryag Mitzvot. They kept the Taryag Mitzvot. How come they say? Why they say that? What, do you think we're stupid? We're not stupid. We know that they didn't keep Taryag Mitzvot. Why do they say they kept their Taryag Mitzvot? I mean, if you can say something fantastic, you should say something that's close, that's like believable. Not that it's not believable. So why do they say they kept Taryag Mitzvot? Because Avraham Avinu was the person who understood the Derech HaEmet. In other words, he was able to intuit what God wants. It doesn't mean that he shook a lulav on Sukkos. It means that the totality of his persona was dedicated to God in a manner that somebody who has the Torah and does all the mitzvot should aspire to. That's what it means. But what I want to point to you is, right? What I want to point out to you is that he uses this word Derech HaEmet and Kavat Tzedek. Kav HaTzedek, there's a line. One side of the line is just, and the other side of the line is unjust. So I say to you that according to the Rambam, when Avraham Avinu came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you do this? It's not just. So according to the Rambam, that means that Avraham Avinu's discovery of God, or rediscovery of God, Avraham Avinu's rediscovery of God was connected to the fact that he discovered tzedek. That's what he discovered. He understood that tzedek, that righteousness and truth have to have a source. They have to come from someplace. And that the source that they come from was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once you recognize that, you can get more and more of it. Because you know that connecting yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to kind of enhance your ideas that are connected to Emet and Tzedek. And because of that, even though the Rambam doesn't say what I'm saying now, I mean, I'm just saying it because it seems to me a reasonable conclusion that when Avraham Avinu came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, Tzedek, which brought me to where I am standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why I'm standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I realized that the Tzedek can only come from God and not from the sun or the moon or the stars. I realized that. And therefore, my concept of Tzedek is being tested. I can't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would kill the Tzaddikim with the Rishaim. With the Rishaim. That's what it says. Okay.
Why didn't he have that reaction with the kid at Yitzchak?
It was a test.
But it was not just.
It's the end of the parasha. We're not doing that now. But I want to look at the end of the Rambam. No. I mean, it's a question. I agree. I don't mean to. It's a question. You know. In other words. Let's look at the end. Look at the end. At the end of the Rambam. You see where it says Yaakov Avinu? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines on the bottom. 7 lines on the bottom, the second word on the line. Yaakov Avinu, right? He's gone through Avraham and Yitzchak. He's talking about the foundation of the world. Right, how this is working out. Avraham Avinu is Avlud Hashem Olam, but he's one person. How did that one person become a nation? So Yaakov Avinu, Lamad Banav Kulam, Limeid Banav Kulam, he taught his sons, Vivdil Levi, and he said, it's not written in the Chumash what the Rambam says. It's in Chazal, but it's not written in the Chumash. I mean, Chumash is the primary source for Jewish history, certainly in the book of Bereishit at the beginning of Shemot. I mean, there's a lot of Jewish history there, but the Rambam says that Yaakov Avinu limeid banav kulam vivdil Levi. He separated the tribe of Levi, his son Levi, uminahu rosh, and he appointed him in charge. Voshivo b'yeshiva, and he put him into a yeshiva in Levi. Lilmod derech Hashem, to learn the way of God, v'lishmor mitzvot Avraham, and to keep the mitzvot that Avraham Avinu kept. So what were the mitzvot that Avraham Avinu kept? We know that he milah and whatever else, you know, whatever else he kept, but the main mitzvah that he kept as a mitzvah was milah. V'lishmor mitzvot Avraham. V'tziva et banav shelo yafsiku mibnei Levi mimone kidei shelo tishakach alimud. And he put the tribe of Levi in charge of Talmud Torah. And he told all the other brothers, whatever happens, you have to make sure that the children of Levi and the children of Levi will continue to have this job of sitting and learning Torah. Shelo tishakach alimud. Vaya davar holech umitgaber bivnei Levi ubinilvim alehem. This got stronger and stronger with the sons of Levi and those who came and were associated with them. V'naseit ba'olam uma shehi yodat et Hashem. And in this way, there was created a nation that knew God. In what way? That in the nation there was this group of people called B'nai Levi, who studied Torah exclusively, and they set the tone. And even the other people who did not study Torah exclusively, they were influenced by the fact that Levi was there, right? Shehi yodat Hashem ad sharchu hayamim liYisrael b'Mitzrayim, until B'nai Yisrael had spent a lot of time in Egypt, right? Hundreds of years as slaves. Ve'achazru l'ilmod ma'aseihem ve'lavod kochavim kimotam chutz mi'shevet Levi shamad mitzvat avot. So all of the Jews, all of the Jews of Mitzrayim, enslaved in Mitzrayim, as Chazal say it, that they were strongly influenced by the idolatry in Mitzrayim, and when just on the eve of their being freed by Moshe Rabbeinu, they were in a very precarious situation, and they were on the verge of destruction. Umeolam lo avad Shevet Levi avodat kochavim, but Shevet Levi remained true to the mitzvot of the avot, and for the Rambam that means knowing and understanding about God and what God wanted in the world, etc. Right? Umeolam lo avad Shevet Levi avodat kochavim, and they never served an idolatrous service. Kimat kat. It was just an instant away, the Rambam says. Kimat means almost, and kat is like katan, like a very small almost. It's just about going to happen. Haya ha'ikar sheshatal Avraham ne'ekar. And it was just that close to Avram Avinu's chidush, being usurped once again. V'chozrim b'nei Yaakov l'ta'ut ha'olam v'ta'iyutan. And we were on the verge of all of the sons of Yaakov in Mitzrayim going to that ta'ut gedolah that took place at the time of Enosh. Remember, Enosh, ta'ut gedolah, they were able to defend the beginnings of idolatry, right? And then also in Mitzrayim, what happened was that B'nai Israel were that close to losing it, to becoming like Enosh. U'me'avat Hashem otanu. The Rambam has no other explanation. Me'avat Hashem otanu. God's love for us. U'mishamro et ha-shevu'ah la'Avraham, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept his promise, the oath that he made to Avram Avinu, Asa Moshe Rabbeinu Rabban Shel Kol HaNeviim U'shelacho. So imagine the Rambam, he has no other way of explaining the world's history or Jewish history except by saying those words, Asa, Moshe Rabbeinu Rabban Shel Kol. What does Asa mean? Like God created him. God created Moshe Rabbeinu. So we know that the story of the birth and the early life of Moshe Rabbeinu is told in the Torah. The Rambam says, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It didn't make any sense. It was almost, the Jewish people almost did not get started. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us by sending Moshe Rabbeinu, Kevan Shenitvabei Roshei Rabbeinu V'char Hashem Yisrael in Nachala. He says, since Moshe Rabbeinu was a prophet, Shenitvabei Moshe Rabbeinu V'char Hashem Yisrael in Nachala, and he chose B'nai Yisrael as being his inheritance. Hechtiran B'mitzvot. He gave them the crown of mitzvot V'odiyam Derech Avodato, and he told them how to serve God. Ma'yeh Mishpat Avodat Kochavim V'Kol HaTo'im Achareah. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in an act of chesed, sent Moshe Rabbeinu to save us, and to save us from Mitzrayim to Har Sinai. And Har Sinai, we received, as I said before, we received the basic plan of how to avoid the ta'ut, how to avoid the ta'ut gedolah, and how to avoid the ta'ut pachot gedolah, and how to get involved, how to avoid getting involved in idolatry. That's what the Rambam says. So now if I read the psukim again, I don't want to read them, but I just look at this last pasuk here. Pasuk Tafei, on the same page. Pasuk Tafei, Chalila Lecha. Avraham Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know what tzedek is, I know what emet is, and my knowledge, but it's emet, my understanding of emet and tzedek that brought me to the service of God. I mean, that's what happened. So if that's what brought me to the service of God, I mean, it must be true. It must be true. And therefore, I say to God, Chalila Lecha, Me'asot kadabar azeh lamit tzadikah im rasha, v'ayaket tzadikah rasha. There would be no difference between the tzadik and the rasha if you destroy the city of Sodom and the 50 righteous people. So it means being righteous doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything to you. And that's something that I know is wrong. Chalila lecha. He says it twice in that pasuk. The second time, Chalila lach. Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. Is it possible that God, who in my understanding of God is Hashofet kol ha'aretz, he is the ultimate judge, and the ultimate judge must produce emet, which is the truth, even though we can't always do that, right? We in the world, olam hazeh, it's not always easy to produce an ultimate truth for anybody who's ever had anything to do with a Beit Mishpat or a Beit Din. It's not an easy thing. But for God, it should be an obvious thing. And for Moshe, for Avraham Avinu, it was obvious that the 50 tzaddikim should not be destroyed. So, up to the last source. The last source is a Gemara in Kedushin. You see it? Mm-hmm. I have to skip the Rashi. We don't have time. But we do have time. We have to learn the Gemara in Kedushin. Tana Rabbanan, you see that?
Yeah.
Tana Rabbanan means it's a Tanaitic statement. La'olam yirei adam atzvo ki'ilu chetzio chaya v'chetzio zakai. If you've ever learned the Rabbah Michos Tshuva, so you may have heard of this. A person should always see himself as being on the 50-50 mark. You know, 50% of what I did was good, and 50% of what I did was bad, and I have this opportunity. What's the opportunity? Asa mitzvah achat, ashrav, shechri atzmo, lekab zchut. Or you do one mitzvah, you changed your whole, the prognosis has changed. Avar avirachat, but if you transgress, oilo, shechri atzmo, lekab chova, shenemar, v'chotei echad, yuvah tovah rabbeh. Right, one sin can make you lose a lot of good things. Bishvil chet yechidi shechata oved mimenu tovot. That's the explanation of the pasuk tovot harbe. That's the first Tana Rabbanan. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, a new idea. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, lefi sheolam nido nachar rubo vayachid nido nachar rubo asa mitzvat achat ashrav. So he says this odd thing, that let's say you're in a community, you're an individual, but you're also part of a community. So as an individual, he agrees with the previous statement, that you do a good thing, you could save yourself. You do a bad thing, you might destroy yourself. But he says more than that, you're part of a community. And the community should also be seen as being in that 50-50 kind of situation. Will the community live or will the community die? So if you do a mitzvah, you can save not only yourself, but you could save the whole community, because the whole community is also going to be measured in the same way. That's the statement of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Mitzvah achat, ashrav shechri et atzmo ve'et kol ha'olam lekav zchut, avar aveira achat. Oilo, that's a terrible thing if he transgressed. He's destroying himself. And he's destroying kol olam kulo. Okay, that's what he says. Let's go on. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer. You see, it's ben Yochai is six lines from the bottom of the Gemara. Afilu tzaddik gamur kol yamav. Umarav achrona ibeidet ha-rishonot, that if you were always righteous, but at the end you became a rasha, you lost all your righteousness. Shenemar, tzidkat ha-tzaddik lo tatzilenu biyom pisho. That you can't rely on your righteousness in the past. Vafilu rasha gamur kol yamav, azat shuba bachrona, ain maskirim lo shuv risho. Even if somebody who was a rasha all his days, and then he does tshuva at the end of his days, then you accept him for what he is now, and you don't mention his wickedness of the past, etc. So this is a Gemara that has several ideas about how tshuva, zchuyot, avonot, apply themselves to the individual and also to the community. And if the individual is part of the community, so how would that affect the community? If you did a good thing, you did a bad thing. That's all. That's in this Gemara in Kedushin. And the Rambam quotes this Gemara in Hilchot Tshuva. The Rambam thought this Gemara was very important. And in the third parak of Hilchot Tshuva, he basically restates it in his Hebrew. Now, I wanted to take a note. We won't be able to go through it all, but a little bit. The Sefer HaMakneh, the Masechet Kedushin. Sefer HaMakneh is a commentary on Masechet Kedushin, which Makneh is like, Kedushin starts with the statement, Isha Niknet Bishloshadra, right? The word Niknet, which sounds like it means to purchase, is the word that's used in halacha to describe kiddushin. But it doesn't mean that the women are purchased, because they are not. Because if you've ever been to a Jewish wedding, the purchase price is paid by a very inexpensive ring, usually. And no one would sell themselves for that inexpensive ring. And so it doesn't mean what you think it means. It means that the halachic process that is similar to what is happening is the kinyan. But the reason that the kinyan works is because the husband, the groom, and the bride want it to work. They both have to intend that this should happen. And if they intend that this should happen, then they are married. But not because she got a ring. Yes? So why did he give a ring? Mm-hmm. Why do you give a ring at a Jewish wedding? We say zechel ma?
Lachul
lo shuma.
Akinyan zechel lachul mashu.
Kimat. Not bad. I always have to compliment my daughter. Otherwise I get it when I go home. No, almost. What is there at a chuppah besides the chatan and the kala?
Eidim,
good. Eidim. So what are Eidim? What are Eidim? Eidim are people who see something. And then later on you could say, did that happen? And they say yes. So later on the question is, were they married? Now the Eidim, in order to say yes, they can't say, well, we know what they were thinking. Or we know what their kavana was at the time. Because you can't be a witness on kavana. But you can be a witness on an action. So the chatan says to the kala, I want to marry you. You want to marry me? Yes. And he gives her something which indicates to the Eidim what it is that was happening. And that's not a kinyan. That's a statement of intention. But we call it, that's what we call it. So why did I tell you this? Because he wrote, Pinchas HaLevi Horowitz wrote a sefer on Kedushin, called Sefer HaMakneh. That's what's called, it's a line-by-line practical commentary of this man who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And I told you the last time we learned his commentary on Chumash, which is called Panim Yafot, the last time that he was a Talmud of, Pinchas HaLevi Horowitz, was a Talmud of the Magid Mimezrich. Thank you. The great Magid, right? The great Magid. And he had an older brother whose name was Shmelka. Shmelka, you know, they like to do that to Hebrew names. His name was Shmuel. His older brother, who was also a Talmud of the Magid Mezrich, two great scholars who became turncoats and became Hasidim. You know, so... and they were Rabbanim. They were both Rabbanim in the different cities, because the Levi was a Rav in Germany. He did not make everybody into a chassid, but they all loved him because he was a nice man. So he says this. He says this in the Sefer Makna. He says, "V'nireh da'af deka amar hocha shemachriya et kol ha'olam kulo lekav chova." He says, even though Rabbi Lazar said that if the one guy in the community does a bad thing, they're all going to get zapped. Right? That's what he said. He says, it could be this situation, the whole world is going to go under lekav chova. Hainu demidat hadin. You can see that he can't take it. He can't believe that there could ever be a situation where one person could destroy the world. I mean, how could that be? So he says, Hainu demidat hadin hu kein. He says, yes, in some kind of theoretical midat hadin, this is true. Aval midat chesed, but chesed, who kisheroesh rov ha'olam chas v'shalom rishaim, chozer v'dan hatzadikim kol echod b'fnei atzmo k'dei lezakotam. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees, that most of the people in the world deserve the maximum punishment. So he says, chozer v'dan hatzadikim. God then says, no, let me take the tzadikim out of the cheshbon. I'm going to put them away on the side. Call echad b'fnei atzmo k'dei lezakotam, in order to give them the merit that they deserve. Hainu, here we go. You ready? I'm ready. Hainu shamar Avraham Avinu, alav shalom. And this is what Avraham Avinu meant to say, or said, chalila lecha la mitzadikim rasha. Chalila lecha. What's Eloma? How did Avraham Avinu say such a thing? Afilu Ruban Rishaim, even if most of the people in the community in the city of Sodom are Rasha Rishaim, Yadin HaTzadikim Bifnei Atzmam, he should judge the Tzadikim on his own, on their own, Lizakotam. V'haynu Da'amar HaShofet Kol Arz Lo Yaseh Mishpat. And then Avraham said, could it be that the Shofet, that the judge of all of the world is not going to make a proper judgment? Salomar, this is what he said, what Avraham Avinu said, I will be Shodan Kol HaOlam, even though God is judging the world, V'ruban Mishaim Mikol Makom Ra'ui Lo Shelo Limnoa Mishpat HaTov Min HaTzadik Kefi Ma'asav. So you see, the Ponim Yofos, the Makneh, Pinchas HaLevi Horowitz says, this is what's happening. This is what the conversation is about. There's Midas HaDin and Midas HaChesed. And Avraham Avinu thought, when the angels told him that they were going to go and destroy the city of stone, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was operating according to Midat HaDin. He never thought that there was no reason or no rationale to God's position. It's just that Avraham Avinu, who in Kabbalistic thought is equal to which Svira? Avraham Avinu? Chesed. chesed. What do you mean Avraham Avinu chesed? It means that Avraham Avinu brought chesed into the world. Right? He made chesed a possibility. So Avraham Avinu is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chesed is also mishpat. Mishpat is not just emet. It's also tzedaka or tzedek. And that's chesed. That's what the Rambam said. That Avraham Avinu understood that in order for the world to exist, there have to be this kind of double kind of justice system. There has to be the letter of the law, and there has to be take into account somehow the people involved who are not able always to live up to the standard of the level of the level of the law. So Avraham Avinu thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the angels, when the angels came and said we're going to destroy a stone, they meant din. That's the din. They're all wicked except for a few, and they're all going to go. And Avraham Avinu, who is chesed, who brought the chesed into the world, says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's also chesed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, Enoch Inami. There's also chesed. I didn't, that what the angels meant was the city would be destroyed, but the righteous would be saved. And in fact, this lesson was taught to us about God's position in this matter with a city that had no righteous people in it. Even Lot, who was ultimately saved, and his family, and it's hard to say that he sort of like lives up to the standard of righteousness. So the Panim, the Sefer Makneh, the Panim Yofos is the Perush HaChumash that the same person wrote. But the Panim Yofos, the Sefer Makneh says there's this conversation with the Kaddish Baruch Hu in which Avraham Avinu is valiantly trying to bring chesed, the chesed of Mishpat, into the world at that time. And so Avraham Avinu plays a real role. You can't explain these sukkim as being somehow Avraham Avinu didn't understand, or he didn't understand, or he thought, or he didn't think, or he was chutzpah, or didn't have chutzpah. Avraham Avinu had a job. He had to demand a certain kind of attitude from heaven to earth. And even though Sodom was entirely going to be destroyed, what Avraham Avinu ended up teaching us, according to the Sefer Makneh, was that there's Mishpat Shel Din and there's also Mishpat Shel Chesed. And the Chesed has to be applied judiciously, of course, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said 50 tzaddikim will save them, 45 will save them, 40. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said always that this principle of Mishpat of Chesed will override the other principle, which is that if most of the people are wicked, then all the people get the same punishment. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.